Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. I'm delighted that you're able to join me. Have you ever gone through a thinking process where you perhaps are reflecting on things you've done in your life and you wonder, what would have been different if I had taken this action? Or what would have happened if? Or as the title of my author today, Betsy Otter Thompson, asks, what happens if I? Well, you give yourself a power of perspective that maybe you would not have considered otherwise. Betsy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are a woman that has walked your own journey, as we all do in life, going through various experiences, and that is what I think your book is about. What you're trying to do with your book is to let people know, one, they're not alone, and two, that we do have options of choice. And I think so many times, dependent on our personality type and or experiences we may have, that, you know, age has something to do with it, but to be able to view life with a positioning of choice, it's not something a lot of people are able to feel comfortable with many times. They don't feel that they might have those choices. What was it, Betsy, that made you aware that there were choices that you had and that you opted out of being a victim?
Well, I spent the first half of my life blaming everyone else for my problems, and blame took me to almost being homeless. And so I had to take responsibility for the choices I had made that had made me homeless, because no one else had made those choices. I was the one who made the choices that almost put me to being homeless. So when I got to that point in my life, I sort of thought to myself, well, if I made the choices that got me to being almost homeless, then I can jolly well make different choices. And I thought that I had come to a point in my life where I couldn't get any lower. I was in a one-room apartment in California that was roach-infested and not in a very good neighborhood, and struggling to make ends meet. And I came across the Course in Miracles, which I'm sure you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And the one idea that really, really got me when I was doing that was about taking responsibility. And I had to ask myself, you know, what does that really mean, taking responsibility? And for me, it turned out that it was about taking responsibility for the choices I had made, but also for who I was and the true person that I really was. Because I had known from the age of 5 that I could communicate with spirit, but my sister had reacted so violently to it that I was so traumatized by it and so afraid of what other people would think and react to it that I didn't do it anymore. And then this was another thing that I took responsibility for. And I said, I remember saying sort of a prayer one evening that I wanted to honor the gift that I had. I wanted to share it with others. I wanted to write. I wanted to use it in whatever way I could to help myself and others. And 3 weeks later, I had a job in an entertainment company, and I worked for the same man for the next 20 years. And I could retire in 20 years, and I did so well financially. So it was almost as if the universe said to me, okay, if you're ready, we're ready, and here we go. And it's been quite a journey since then. So I was the one who had to make the choice. So I had to decide that I was the one who made the choices that got me where I was. So therefore, I could make different choices. And I think it was hitting the bottom. I hope the people out there, you don't think you have to hit the bottom to change your choices. But truly, you are in power. You are the powerful energy that can choose differently.
All of us will perhaps relate to what you've just said on one level or another, but I can say, having worked as a counselor for so many years, one of the most difficult spaces for any of us to get into is to recognize that we have somehow or another, and I don't say this to be in a positioning of making people feel guilty. That's not the issue here. The issue is to acknowledge your own power, that even though you may be in something that is absolutely, hideously ugly, you're the potter. You've got the wheel. You've got the clay. And you may have to add a little bit extra water. You may have to change the design of action. You may have to change the design of your thought. But it's being mindfully aware that this is your life. This is your opportunity to be what you really want to be. And that is something that can be very frightening. And what you said about, gee, I had to reach that point where I couldn't worry about what other people thought. I had to have that integrity with myself is very important. And you have right at the very beginning of your book a statement. Every question is automatically answered the moment you feel its presence. To know the answer is to welcome the people who show you yourself. Now that one sentence, the people who show you yourself, that is what you have to be aware of. And I can remember going through an experience when I was a teenager where someone was engaging in an activity that I just said, I can't honor, I can't respect this. This isn't something. But I had to make a choice about what my actions are going to be. And all of us face this on one level or another. The integrity with the self is so important. And the action I took stated my integrity for myself as a person, and I never regretted that choice. That is something that in your book you try to bring out, this honesty with the self. For you to reach that point, like you said, you had to hit bottom. I've known a number of people that have said the same thing.
Yes, well, the thing is, you cannot change something. You can't change something within yourself until you acknowledge that it's there. You can't change what you refuse to deal with. So honesty is so important because honesty is connecting you up to the God within you, the energy within you, the soul within you, because it is the epitome of honesty. And so if you aren't honest, then you're disconnected from this source within yourself, this incredible energy and powerful source within yourself. That's why it's so important to be honest. And you don't have to be honest with other people. You don't have to go out and say, oh, I did this and this today, and aren't I horrible? It's not about that. This is about a relationship with yourself, because you are the one who is going to do something differently so that you can attract a different mirror back to you. And that's basically, I mean, you can't always control what happens in life, because other people are living their lives beside you, and they take actions, they do this, they do that. However, you can control how you react to that behavior. You can control whether you decide to live in resentment and anger, fear, or you can decide if you're going to see it as somehow a gift to you, because the person who is in front of you is a gift to you. This is how the universe is always balanced. And the cosmos shows you how balanced it is. Therefore, everything within the universe is also balanced, which means we are always facing our emotional mirror and other people. That means that as soon as you change the way you are dealing with life, you attract people who are also dealing that way in life. So, like when I went through my first half of my life blaming everyone else for my problems, all I did was attract a lot of people to me who were willing to blame me for their problems. When I took responsibility for the fact that I had made the choices that got me almost homeless, I started attracting people into my life who were also taking responsibility for their lives. And so that's how dramatic the change can be when you decide that you are the one who controls the emotional action you give to others and therefore attract back to you. And that changes your entire life, because it changes the people who are comfortable with you and who are compatible with you. It changes everything.
You talk about perfection in your book, and oh my goodness, I think all of us aspire for some level of perfection. I haven't found it yet, so
you never will.
I think lots of times we're bouncing balls, and we have, you know, there's a never-ending, gee whiz, I could have done it better. I always have to laugh, because no matter how hard I try to do something, absolutely magnificently perfect. Many times there's that little bit of something that's missed. And finally, I think it just comes with maturity. You say, oh, heck, it's all right. The world's going to continue to spin. And you address that. So why don't we talk about this idea of perfection? Now, it's not to say that you should not aim for the best. Absolutely. You give it 100%. But sometimes you find things like a bug in your soup. And you go, oh, I tried so hard. How come this happened? Well, maybe the bug was flying around when you were serving it and all of a sudden decided it was its time to go. Boom, plop, it's in the bowl. You move on. You don't get stuck. Let's address this because it really is a big, big thing with a lot of people.
Yes, I think it is too. And first of all, we are energy. And energy is constantly in movement. It is either expanding or retracting. It is either going in one direction or it's going in another direction. So how could anything that is in constant movement ever reach a state of perfection? It is always growing. It is always evolving. There is no perfect thought except that we are perfectly wonderful exactly the way we are. And I think that we come here, we decide who we want to be, the challenges that are beneficial to our emotional evolution. We decide what it is we need when we were here to grow. It's about growing. It's not about being perfect. And the problem with wanting to be perfect is you're seeking an impossible goal, and then you always feel that you're not good enough or thin enough or fat enough or good, you know, bold enough or something enough and that's why you're not perfect. But that puts you in a total focus of lack all the time. What you are missing, what you don't have to be perfect. And so whatever you focus on, it grows. And so the more you think you have to be perfect, then the more the universe challenges you to accept that you aren't, and let's just go on with your life and appreciate what you have. So happiness doesn't come from finding what you lack. Happiness comes from loving what you find.
Integrity. Now, we addressed a little bit of it earlier. And again, your book is portioned into these chapters. And each of them starts with the title, What Happens If I? And the one on integrity, Live Without Integrity. What happens if I live without integrity? And this is something that my goodness, as a nation, we're seeing this battle going on right now with supposed leaders that we have, and we're seeing how many do not have it. And I always say it's good. Once you bring out something that's not balanced and healthy, you're able then to do something with it. Like any disease or fungus, and this goes for our personal lives as well, if we keep pushing it down, it just keeps growing and growing and growing until it eats away at our lives. And you say, if you make every moment the gift you want to get back, every moment becomes the peace you want to attract. By the way, if your theory for integrity is any more complicated than this, you can forget about it. And I think that that is very complementary with the Golden Rule, but I think it also makes for a richer life when we have integrity with ourselves, because that automatically is going to ripple out and touch everything and everyone that we come in contact with in life.
Yes, I think when you don't live with integrity, life seems like a very mysterious place to us, because we are forgetting that we cannot expect to receive from other people what we are not willing to give them. And when we refuse to acknowledge that give-receive idea, then we get confused about what happens. Why did that happen to me? Why did that person rude to me? I wasn't rude to anybody else. Well, the fact is, you probably were rude to somebody else. Maybe not to that person, but to somebody. And that's what it means to live with integrity, to give other people what you want them to give to you, and to think of other people in terms of what you want, how you want them to think about you, because feelings aren't hideable. Feelings are real, and nothing in the world of matter can separate feelings. So you may think that somebody doesn't know how you feel about them, but they do. They may not know your exact thoughts or exactly the criticism that you have about them, but they can feel that you are disapproving in some way. And therefore, if you want people to be tolerant of you and be accepting of you and be kind to you, then you have to be giving that to other people. And if you aren't, the people you want to find who are kind and loving and caring are facing somebody else, not you. And so this is what it means to find integrity, to be the person you want other people to be with you. And there's no way around it, because it's a law of physics. You know, whatever you put out is going to come back. Whatever goes around comes around. Whatever goes up comes down. And so it is just part of the experience of being in humanness. And once you understand how it works, then you feel the power within yourself to create what you do want instead of what you don't want.
There's an issue that many individuals have, and that is they may have a passion for doing something. I'm thinking of a particular individual in my mind right now, very gifted artist. This is a talent that when you see it, you would just go, wow, this person should be in galleries all over the place. Really, really, very, very gifted. But this person is always struggling with money. And this individual, if you make suggestions about, gee, this is what you could do, that is what you could do, they automatically will say, no, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. They have, I think, bought into the idea of being a struggling artist when it's not a requirement. You have a chapter in your book where you say, what happens if I do what I love but the money doesn't come? There's the old saying, do what you love to do, the money will follow. For a lot of people, that doesn't happen, at least not in the way they expect it to. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, well, money is not the reward for doing what you love. Happiness is the reward. That's the first issue that you have to get straight in your head. And if you do what you love and the money doesn't come, you're still doing what you love. You have to ask yourself, somebody came up with that phrase, Donna, I guess maybe 10 or 15 years ago, do what you love and the money will come, and everybody bought into it because they wanted to think it's true. Well, things will come to you if you do what you love, because if you're doing what you love, you're a happy person, you're a person who's thrilled with life, you're expressing your creativity, and good things will come to you. They might not necessarily come to you in money, because the universe gives to you what you need to receive, not what you expect to receive. I can tell you that when I started writing, I had this turnaround, I was writing. I thought I should be getting, you know, more money for the writing, but I wasn't getting any money for the writing. However, I had this other job in the entertainment business, so the money was pouring in, and the job was very important to my growth and my progress, and I needed that too. So it's not about the money coming from what you love doing. It's about doing what you love and then letting life flow the way it needs to flow. I mean, it's our expectations of how we think things are supposed to progress that get us in trouble.
That is so true. And I think with each of us as individuals, we all have our myths. And to be able to get past the myth, to really get to the substance, is a journey. You've had to go through yours. I have to go through mine. Everybody listening to this program has to go through theirs. This a part here that you addressed, what happens if I abandon another? Now, when you use the word abandon, the immediate image is that you're running away. You are not being responsible. You are not doing what you're supposed to do. This is an interesting question. Why did you choose to address it?
I think that I was confused about the idea of what abandonment was myself, and so I needed help with that idea, and that's how the book evolved completely. Because every chapter that I came to was an issue that I needed to look at and ask myself about. And what I realized was that there are different ways you can abandon someone. You can abandon them in the picture we see with our eyes, or you can abandon them emotionally, and to the person who experiences both of them, the lack of shared trust is much more painful than the lack of the picture together. And so it's really about remembering what is real, and what is real is the way we interact with each other emotionally. The picture is an illusion that comes and goes. Anything that could be here today and gone tomorrow is illusionary. And so that isn't where the growth is happening. The growth is happening in the emotion that's happening around what is happening. So if you leave somebody's life, it isn't about the fact that you've left. It's about how you left, what you did as you left, how you were treating the people around you as you left. That's what's really important, and I think that's where all the growth is, because I think that it's always about the growth. No matter what's happening, it's about the within what's happening within each person that matters, and that's what it's all about. For instance, if you were with somebody, you were with them every day, and that person had abandoned you emotionally, that's much more painful than somebody leaving your life temporarily and then coming back. It's the pain of somebody cutting you out emotionally or hurting you emotionally. That's where the separation really is.
You bring in a question, what happens if I don't love the choices of those I love? Boy, that's a big one. You constantly are people in family situations. I was reviewing material this morning and how people will get angry over things that to an outsider may seem so inconsequential, but we all have our little territories of perception that we are going to battle to the death to keep without realizing many times those territories, those emotional territories or even physiological territories, are creating more of a prison for us than not. But it really is a tough thing to do because a lot of us are of the mindset that, by golly, everybody is supposed to agree with us, which is not going to happen in the human experience, period. It just isn't going to be there. You can do an interview with 1,000 people with a particular question. You'll get 1,000 answers. And it's all because of what we perceive. How can we make it okay for people just to be the people that they are without trying to manipulate them, control them? It's a very interesting positioning of thought.
Well, first of all, nothing happens if you stop loving the choices of those you love unless you stop loving them because of their choices. And I think that everybody comes here to live a specific journey, and we have no idea why they are here. We only understand our own lives truly, or we only have the capacity to understand our own lives. We don't know what people might have lived I don't know if you believe in a past lifetime or not, but perhaps we have been in past lifetimes, and we lived something specific in that lifetime that has led to this lifetime. But the other person doesn't know that. I don't know what you are here exactly to live and what your lessons are any more than you know exactly what my lessons are unless I share them with you. But mm-hmm. But there is no place for judgment in an idea where you don't have the information you need to make a judgment. So I think that's where we look at the picture, we see things happening that we judge as wrong, but we don't know whether those people chose, we don't know why those people are there. How can we say that they shouldn't be there? When we do that, what we're really saying about another person is that person's soul is a dummy. They don't know what they're doing, and that's impossible. The soul is all-knowing. It always has you where you need to be, facing what you need to deal with. And we have to trust that, because if we don't trust that other people are living the path they need to live, we can't trust our own path. Because whatever you give, you receive. Whatever you give to others, you feel within. So if you want to trust your own path and believe in what you're doing and have confidence that your life is on purpose and you're exactly where you need to be, then you have to trust that about others too.
And that is a big step to take. It is a very big step to take, because that means you must be of a mindset where you say it's okay if they fall down. It is okay if, in my view, they're making wrong choices. If they ask for my advice, I'm happy to give it. But I'm not going to do otherwise. We human beings are very, very interesting. And our interactions and our experiences are as diverse as the individual is. And it is, I think, always an ongoing play, as Shakespeare said. The world is a stage, and all of us are the players upon it. And I really think that when you come to a deeper awareness of that, it actually becomes fascinating to watch all of the different costuming and the different scenarios that we as human beings go through. And I do think that there are things from the past that can come in that maybe have to be balanced. You address a question in your book, and it's relating to suicide. And this is something that is very traumatic. I've known of a number of families where this situation has touched their lives. And there's always questions, of why. Address that for a moment.
Well, I'm not sure that we always can understand why other people make that choice, but we can certainly address it before they do it. I think we come here on the human plane from a conscious decision. That's what I believe. And whether we leave by a conscious decision is up to us. Suicide is one way of leaving. But I don't believe we find any answers from committing suicide that we can't find from staying here, because I believe that help exists wherever we are, whenever we're ready to recognize where help is. And so the person who commits suicide is committing suicide because they want to escape an emotional dilemma of some sort. And since we take our emotions with us when we commit suicide, we aren't solving any problems. We're just getting out of the opportunity we had to solve that problem, and then we will probably have another opportunity to solve it. We'll come back again and try again with a different scenario to see if we can make that one work. So I think that the reason we commit suicide is usually to escape, but I don't think we do escape. I think we just try again. I don't think it's any different than what happens to us during our life without the idea of suicide even around. If we try something and it doesn't work, we try something else. If we fail, we pick ourselves up and we try again. So I don't think there's any God in heaven judging people who commit suicide or judging anybody around that person. It's just that it's another, they'll just get another chance to live that idea. The growth continues. The growth, because you commit suicide, doesn't stop what it is your soul is trying to understand and wants to learn while here. So you just get another opportunity. And it's also, you know, for parents, I know there's a lot of grief around this idea. And I think it's the only thing you can do is to trust that soul is where it needs to be for the moment. That's the only thing you can do. There is no other way to think of it. You are not responsible for the choice that another person makes, even if it's suicide.
Well, I concur. Your book, The What Happens If I, and then there's the questions, and you've got a number of chapters. This is a book that you've put a lot of thought into because you want to stimulate the thinking of an individual to encourage them to realize that they've got options, that they really have options. And I think so many times when we can do that, when we can look again and say, I know there is an answer for me. I know that there is an opportunity. And when you can bring that question out, what happens if I do X, Y, Z? Sometimes it's what happens if I don't. But the what happens if I, when it's presented, opens up, I think, a marvelous array of possibilities, and you address many of them. Betsy Otter Thompson, I know people can go to your website, Betsy Thompson, and they can find out more about your publications because you've written more than one book. You're a woman that walked the walk, stopped the blame game, and said, let me share with you what I've learned and what I know. And I always think that is the greatest gift for people. Go to BetsyThompson.com, and Betsy, it's been a delight having you as a guest.
Well, thank you, Donna. It's been wonderful talking with you, and I hope that our hearts have reached out to others and helped them in some way. That's the greatest reward of all.
I concur with that. The What Happens If I book, Betsy Otter Thompson, has been my guest, and that's Thompson, O-N, at the end, not an E-N. BettyThompson.com. You can check it all out. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break and coming back in just a moment. More good things to share with you.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino muscle snack time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Visit Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today. By the way, quickly, I do know we have a caller on the line. Let me give out the telephone number if you would like to call in and chat with me. And all I need from you, by the way, if you're a first-time listener, I just need your first name or your initial, and then I'll be delighted to give you intuitive insights into what's going on in your life. And also, if you have a question, to answer that question for you. So here is the toll-free telephone number for you to call in to 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, let's go to the telephone line and show you what it's how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Welcome, caller, to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Melissa, calling in from Tucson.
All right, Melissa, welcome to the show, and I know the sun is shining on you brightly down there. The first thing that is coming into my mind is take care of business. You must be consistent, and you must be persistent. You also are going to find that it is very important for you to take a break. I think that there is a patterning. It's so easy for anybody to get into. It's almost like a 24/7 patterning, especially if you're in business for yourself. And it's like, well, I'll just do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. You need to block out some time for yourself. It's just your time. Let's call it gal time. I don't care if you're going to go visit a museum, you're sitting in an ice cream parlor having an ice cream cone. It's your time. And you need to be basically almost religious about this so that you know that that is your time. Now, it doesn't mean that it's written in stone for the eternities and that you cannot be flexible about how you choose that. But having that time for you is going to enable you to keep clarity because I am seeing a very, very hectic schedule coming up. I'd say starting about the 9th of September. So it is extremely important for you to get into a patterning. We're into the summer months, and it's important for you to determine the patterning that you want to follow so that, one, you're going to feel like you can breathe periodically without high levels of stress, and I'd say maybe take a pottery class. Do something that is going to put you into an entirely different modality. I knew of some gal that did ballroom dancing once a week. That's how she handled her stress. She'd go to the classes. She didn't care whether she ever competed in a dance contest. As long as she lived, she just wanted to go and have fun. And that's exactly how it worked for her. So you need to think of something and be aware of something that is going to bring you joy, bring you an aspect of social interaction, and then know that you'll have the energy, you'll be refreshed to be able to keep the disciplined patterning that you need for the everyday aspect of business. And don't be afraid to close down, let's say on a Sunday, a Monday, or whatever day of the week you want to do it. I knew of a minister once who, Wednesdays, nobody could reach him. He'd spend, that was his time with his wife. The rest of his schedule was so packed, but that was it. Wednesday was it. Nobody could be in touch with him. His staff said, sorry, he's not available. He didn't care if bombs were being dropped. He was going to have that day, and he did. And he maintained that perspective in his life, and it gave him some space to breathe. And he did this because he said it was necessary. He otherwise was so engrossed in other people's stuff, business, whatever had to be taken care of, that he really lost sight of himself. So he developed that discipline. I pass it along to you as a suggestion. But you need to figure it out. Nobody can do it for you. So you need to figure out what's going to work best for you. But you need to do that for yourself, because I'm looking at you in the fall and in the winter months being so stressed otherwise that it's going to be very, very tough for you to be clear and not have a fear-based essence in a lot of what you do, and I don't want you to go there. I want you to be able to feel centered and enjoy this experience that you're living. Do you have a question for me today?
Thank you, I do. I had been terminated from a freelance position, and they, after a lot of discussion, they said maybe at the end of August they might consider taking me back on. In the meantime, went and applied at a freelance position that I used to work for, their competitor, and I'm waiting to hear back from them to see if they're going to take me on. And that freelance position is something that is bare bones. It's something I like to do, but it also pays immediate necessities. Do you see them contacting me and taking me on?
Well, I think that there is going to be an opportunity there, but I don't know it's going to come up real quickly. And I would start to ask yourself some questions, because it's like milking an old cow, the last remnants of milk. There comes a time when certain environments are not necessarily going to have what you really, really need. So I would like to see you do some brainstorming with some people that are in a similar situation like yourself, and ask what other venues you can approach, because I think you're going to feel so, how can I say this, so anxious about working within these particular environments that you are going to not see what other options you might have. So if you know of other persons who, like yourself, are in this very unique entrepreneurial positioning, you want to, again, pick their brain. See what other environments you could put yourself into that would allow you to perhaps expand your own paradigm. And don't be fearful in this exchange. Just say, I'm trying to brainstorm. I'm looking at what other possibilities are available for me. Also look at your skills differently. In your freelancing, you have some skills that would do very nicely in another environment related to advertising and promotion. And I'm seeing some other companies that could utilize your skills, and I think you might need to refresh your presentation of yourself and your skills. But you'll need to brainstorm with somebody else, and it could be three or four people. And don't put yourself down. Don't get upset over what they say. Just say, I really would appreciate some feedback. I'm looking at this. What do you see as strengths? What do you see as weaknesses? And just listen. But try to listen with an openness of mind to see how maybe you need to recostume yourself. Sort of like the refresh button on the computer. You go and you just say, okay, I need to get rid of, or maybe defragging is a better way of describing it. You're getting rid of what's no longer needed or necessary and refining your strengths so that they can be applicable in a much more flexible patterning. Does that help you?
It does, and I do a lot of different things. It's just that one freelance offers me immediate income to pay immediate necessities, and I was just hoping they would take me back on. But you saw that as looking positive, that they would reengage me.
Yes, I think there's going to be that possibility, but what I said also is that you're trying to milk an old cow. And that group, there might be something there, but you may find the substance, just like with an old cow, it may not be able to continue to give milk. And that's the image that I was getting. So you may find that the substance is potentially there, but they may not have the economics for certain things to be dependable or available. So it's important for you to look for other venues.
Okay. And I thank you very much. I really take to heart everything that you're saying. I totally agree.
Well, my dear, I know you're going to be successful in your own way and in a way that's very meaningful for you. So just be aware, you're just going to be refining and maybe redressing yourself with a different color, and or maybe a multitude of colors. That's the description that I'll use. And I want to thank you for your call. Enjoy your wonderful day.
Thank you, you too.
This is Donna Sebo, and phone number, if you want to call in and chat, 888-627-6008 is the number to call into, 888-627-6008. Summertime is here. Oh, my goodness. Are you amazed at how many diet books are out there? I have to laugh every time I go through the line at the grocery store. If you're like me, and they put magazines there so that we do exactly this, the huge headlines, ta-ta, milkshake diets over here, be skinny again, just like you were in high school. I go, excuse me. After you have kids, your hips spread. How are you going to be skinny again the way you were in high school? Of course, ladies, I'm talking about us. Guys, are you out trying to look like you did when you were a kid and maybe you sprouted 6 or 7 inches? I mean, I just have to laugh, but I think it's so clever. I really am fascinated with the use of words and how in the advertising world, what pulls you in? What is it that we have in our psyches? And of course, weight loss is the biggest thing. Well, I came across some information I just had to share with you. And it was out of the Reader's Digest. And it says, 3 reasons a calorie is not a calorie. Oh my goodness. Can any of you relate to this? Do you walk around with your little calculators? I've had 5,450 million calories, you know, today or something like this. Boy, I have. That's just part of my Wapaho heritage. I'm in a short package, and it's just always been a plague, it seems like, in my life. But this is a perspective of scientific analysis of a calorie. And there are a lot of people that are saying calories in, calories out just isn't really relating to individual body chemistry. So when we come back from break, I've got to share this with you, because we're finally getting to the point of awareness of how the body utilizes what we take in. And everybody's different. And when we come back, I'll share some stuff with you. Anyway, telephone number to call into if you would like to chat with me today is 888-627-6008. This is Donna Sebo. I'll be right back with you.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Again, send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. Telephone number again, if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-627-6008. Why is a calorie not a calorie in the typical sense? Well, if you're like me and you have tried different food programs through the year, I don't like the word diet. I really, really don't. But it's a word. I prefer food programs. And I can remember trying the Atkins food program, and I'm not for it, and I'm not against it. But what I found is that people say, oh, you could eat all the protein you want, blah, 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 and it wouldn't have, didn't work for me. In fact, I put on pounds. And I learned a long time ago, and it's still the case, it hasn't changed, because physiology is something that is what it is. And for me, I found that, one, if I didn't stay active, it would be very easy to put on pounds. Two, my body seemed to utilize carbohydrates in a very efficient way. Well, when you have Italian, German, and God knows what else in your background, but if those are two of the stronger points, and I speak for myself only, your body usually has a great deal of strength to it, and it has this capacity for taking those carbohydrates and stockpiling them. And it just says, yeah, you might need that little bit of potato. I'm going to stick it over here on your left hip here, and you get to keep it for 20 years. Oh, yippee. Anyway, protein is something that I must have. This is something I cannot avoid. If I do, I end up in very serious problems. And those problems go into a hypoglycemic patterning, and you don't want to go there. Been there. That happened to me. Even when I gave blood, I had to make sure that I had a hefty protein meal, not so much carbs, but like a good piece of meat or of some kind and vegetables. I had to eat a big meal before I gave blood because my blood sugar would drop. I mean, I literally, more than once, blacked out, just lost consciousness, and that's because my blood sugar dropped so much after giving blood. So I had to make sure I ate before I went in. Just a tip for those of you that are smaller in size. The big guys, it doesn't seem to be a problem with. We gals, a smaller person, you do if you're going to give blood. Just a tip I'll share with you. Well, Robert Lustig, who is a physician, he said the quality of what you're eating makes a big difference. And this is something that I think is extremely interesting, fiber. Now, we all have heard about fiber and how important it is. Well, that keeps your pipes clean and healthy, but it also delays the absorption of calories. For example, if you eat a portion of almonds, let's say it comes to about 160 to 200 calories, you're only going to absorb about two-thirds of those calories because some of those calories are delivered to your intestine, where the bacteria in your gut actually burns them for their own energy source. Protein, you're going to use twice as much energy to metabolize protein as it takes to metabolize carbohydrates. It's because of the thermic effect of food. Also, protein reduces hunger hormones far more effectively than carbs do. And number three is carbs, starches like potatoes, you know, flour products, anything like this, contain mainly glucose, which every cell in your body uses, your brain especially, uses for energy. Now, when you take in something like fructose, which is in your soda, your candy, and, oh my goodness, it's added to so many foods. If you read labels, you'll come away just shocked. It's metabolized in your liver as fat, which causes a lot of diseases. And many times it is a contributor to things like situations like diabetes. And that is why when someone has a propensity for that, you need to be aware your body is getting too much of a certain kind of a carb. And this is why many times vegetarians will have health problems, not because they're eating unhealthy food, but because they're not getting enough of amino acids, they're not getting enough of the protein contributors, like your quinoa. And there are some other foods. So it's really important that we understand what our bodies need. And also that we have come down through generations that have survived for millennia, and they've gone through periods of starvation. And those periods of starvation created efficiency patterns, especially with we ladies. Oh, boy. Mother Nature said, you've got to survive, so we're going to make sure that you get some extra padding on you. Mm-hmm. And in our modern world, we don't like that. We want to be lean and trim. And this is wonderful. This isn't bad. But they have found, especially as women get older, that extra 10 or 15 pounds that you may carry, maybe even 20 pounds, contributes actually to a wellness factor. And it is something that we're beginning to change our modalities, but not a whole lot. But understand that if you're willing to be honest with yourself and your body, and you eat good food, healthy food, you can have your carbs, you can have your protein, you can have all of these things. But it's the old, old adage, moderation is the key. You want to eat for wellness, and you want to be able to make your body as healthy as possible, because remember, it is your chassis that you're living in that's going to be with you through this life experience. So don't you want to put the right nutrition into it, just like you put the right oil in your vehicle, and you want to keep up the maintenance, so you want to stay active? It really shouldn't be that complicated. I think lots of times we make it complicated, and it's all our choices. So anyway, that's Dr. Lustig's positioning on this, and I think that that is very, very important. And I'll tell you what, a bit of protein can really help those hunger pangs, so be smart. And we're going to be finding out about some ways that you can do this efficiently with some of my guests that are going to be coming up on my show this month, so be sure you tune in. My goodness, where did the hour go? It just goes by so quickly. We are going to be talking tomorrow about so many different things. The Secret Life of Fathers. Oh, this is incredible. This is a male perspective of what it is like to raise girls. And this month we're going to be honoring fathers on Father's Day. And I just think this is wonderful to get a perspective from a guy who interviewed 101 interviews on different topics. And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Won't you join me? I'm so delighted you've taken time out of your busy day to share it with me. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Enjoy your personal power and smile. People need your light, you know. I'm so glad you've shared it with me. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you manana. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.